Good evening and welcome to the December 15th, 2022 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Could I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson?
Present.
Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, if you'd all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I would now accept a motion to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now, first up tonight, we're going to be recognizing our Leadership Academy class of 2022. I believe Jonathan and Ken, you're going to help with this presentation.
Well, good evening, and we're super excited tonight to announce the first graduating class of the Leadership Academy. Ken and I were both challenged by Diane to look at and create and design a Leadership Academy experience for our team members in the district. Really, we had to think through a lot, create a vision of what it would be, and it really got down to, you know, learning from each other, developing and creating new leaders in our district. We talked about how leadership doesn't have a title. We talked about leadership attributes and what does it mean to be a leader here in Marysville Schools. So it's been a great experience. We've learned so much from each of the future graduates here in a little bit. We had a great time too. Wonderful conversations, interesting insights, special projects that are making an impact now and will make an impact in the future as well. So just a great experience overall. Ken, anything to add?
Yeah, sure. Sure, just a couple comments. They were definitely a fun group. We had a lot of fun. And I think that they impressed me a lot with respect to the leadership acumen and the way that they were able to look at decisions when we had scenarios and think about the ripple effect, the residual impact of decisions and things that you would typically only get after you've messed up a few things, quite honestly, in those roles. But they were impressive, and I think the future looks bright. Thank you.
So at this time, we would like the Leadership Academy graduates to come on up, if you like. And again, it was a very impressive bunch. Very impressive.
I believe it. And I guess as they're walking up here, I was wondering if any of them might want to share a comment or two about how their participation benefited themselves or their instruction or partnerships between the buildings.
Yeah, we can see here. Would anybody like to make some comments about your experience?
They can come on up on the stage.
Any of the Leadership Academy students would like to come up and make a few comments about your experience and what you've learned? And don't be shy. Cody, come on up. Anybody else? Come on up.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for the opportunity. When the application came out first, it was like, you know, what is this? Okay, what's the opportunity here? So I went to Ken and I said, is this something I should sign up for? And he's like, absolutely. So I did. And it's been a great opportunity to really get to know the administrators across the building and see what leadership is all about. It's beyond the title. It really is. You know, there's experiences that we do day in, day out, working with kids. And we have awesome kids here. And some of the projects we've done with curriculum, I worked with the transportation office to do a project. And it's just some really neat things going on in this district. And it's a great opportunity here to really showcase the neat things that we're doing here. So thank you.
All
Hi there. Good evening. Tony Given. I just want to take time to say thank you for the opportunity, just to be able to learn, what leadership looks like in Marysville schools. I think the biggest takeaway that I had was what servant leadership looks like, that we're here right now serving as educators in the classroom to our kids, but what could that look like at a larger level in serving the community as a whole? We had an opportunity to learn so much about just I think the finance of schools and just how complicated that really is. And so I'm just, I appreciate all that we've had an opportunity to learn here. So thank you.
Anybody else? All right. Well, we'll get started with the certificates and they can be official graduates of the first Leadership Academy, class of 2022. So first up, we have Mitchell Augenstein. Jennifer Della Hostria. Lauren Devine. Carrie Faust. Anthony Given. Kristen Lee. Andrea Markman. Cody McLean. Beth Ann Moray. Lisa Nemeth. David Odenweller. Jared Weiss. Brenna White. And Cassie St. John, who could not be here this evening. So again, a very impressive group of educators and leaders in our district. And thank you so much for all that you did over this last year as a part of the first Leadership Academy. So congratulations.
Thank you all again. You've set the stage for future leadership classes. So it's going to be fun to see how, you know, what kinds of things they come up with. So I really appreciate that. Next, we are going to be recognizing an employee of the month. So I would accept a motion to approve Tracy Zoldak, Bunsold Middle School Classroom 8, as our classified employee of the month.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Diane.
I do not see Tracy here, but it'd be my pleasure to go ahead and read the comments from her peers and why she was nominated for this award. Tracy serves as an aide at Bunsold Middle School. Tracy does what others don't want to do or sometimes can't. She works with those kids that are a little bit hard, and she shows them love and care and really connects with them. She's one of the people you want in your classroom all the time. She has been physically punched, kicked, slapped so many times, and she just continues to show care and love for them. She builds relationships with students that others don't, and it's truly admirable. She's an amazing asset to our building and is a true team player. She is constantly helping in a variety of classrooms, taking students to the sensory room, covering lunchroom duties, and dealing with the challenging behavior issues that occur. She does a great job working with students, and all students know she truly cares about them. She has the ability to do this while also holding students accountable and ensuring they get work done. She's a wonderful person and makes each day better at Bunzeld. So congratulations to Tracy.
If we can have the roll call, we'll make that official.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And thanks again. Congratulations, Tracy. Yeah. So, no, that's right on. All right, next up, we have a presentation from Tri-Academy. I'm sorry, yes, I know, I had looked up there and I didn't. There's no public participation, correct? Okay, thank you. Then yes, next up, we have the presentation from Tri-Academy, Mr. Stackhouse.
All right. Thank you guys for having me tonight. I'm excited to talk about Tri-Academy. So I'm Scott Stackhouse, principal Tri-Academy. This is my second year there. And I feel blessed to be working at Tri-Academy. This year we started the school year with 55 amazing students. 30 of those students were returning to us and 25 students were new. Out of the 55, 40 of them are seniors who we plan on graduating on time and even possibly early, and the other 15 students are juniors. We've got wonderful kids who have joined our program, but it really starts with the staff. You know, I've been blessed to work with Marysville Schools since 1997, and I've worked with a lot of staff, mainly at Marysville High School. Some of them are up here right now. And it truly is the people that are in the buildings that make things right. There's six staff members at Tri-Academy, and from the time the kids walk in, they know that they are cared about. We talk about our Tri-family. They are very welcoming. They are very forgiving. They are there because they care. And that's what makes Tri-Academy a special place. Go ahead and go to the next slide. I'm going to talk a little bit about our path. Really, Tri-Academy has not been around very long. In 2017, our district furthered their commitment to personalized learning by providing tailored, relevant instructions for students who are struggling to earn credits towards graduation and who may need more individualized attention. That's why Tri-Academy was created. The district was really looking into personalizing education for all students. These students matter. They want to learn. They have struggled with education for many years. And we are lucky to have Tri-Academy in our district. Tri-Academies remain committed to the core belief that we're all humans first and that we can reach our goals. Tri-Academy is highly supported learning community for students who would benefit from an individualized approach to stay on track for graduation. We have many kids, ultimately kids come to us mainly because they are credit deficient. And our job as educators is to get them to graduate. And like I said, we want them to graduate on time. It is not uncommon to have juniors come to Tri-Academy with zero credits because the traditional building, for whatever reason, is not working. We're able to build connections and get them to where they need to be. We currently have a waiting list at Tri-Academy, and we bring students in as other students complete all of the requirements that are needed for graduation. So far, we've had 6 students who have completed all requirements to fulfill graduation requirements for the class of 2023. We're currently in the process of bringing new students over. And honestly, for me, that's a great time to get to know the kids. That's a great time to brag about what we do and what we have as a school district. Our commitments have never changed. Character. We believe wider world skills such as resilience and empathy are essential for student success in school and beyond. We are committed to designing coursework that will embed opportunities for students to acquire, develop, and refine these skills. For our community, we believe that our students thrive in community build and respect relationships and open communication. We are committed to creating a safe and supportive community within the school while also growing student awareness of the wider community by partnering and connecting with relevant stakeholders in the greater Union County area. Over the past few years, that's been a little bit more difficult, mainly because of COVID and restrictions. However, we look forward to getting out and being more involved and working with the Marysville or our community. We believe that education is the foundation of a strong future. We are committed to build students' hopes for their future by facilitating experience in which students can explore career fields and connect and align with their individual passions and talents. We also support students as they determine the post-secondary pathway necessary to achieve whatever their career goals are. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Our plan is very simple. First and foremost, all kids learn. And I know that that's a very general statement, especially in an educational environment. However, some of the kids that are coming to us have struggled so much, whether that be with anxiety, depression, whatever it is. Some students were struggling just to get in the door. They were not learning. They are now. They're in a safe place. They're in a place where they trust the teachers. So great things are happening inside of our doors. I would also tell you that our student population has changed over the past few years. My guess is COVID, but prior to COVID, the majority of our kids were credit deficient only. We are now bringing in students who struggle to get into a traditional building. Their abilities are incredible. Their talents are incredible. Our goal is to get them in the building, get them to do their work, and help them down whatever pathway they want. All kids graduate. Graduation requirements have changed with the class of 2023. Previously, students needed 21 credits from the school, and then they needed to earn 18 points on state testing. That's changed a little bit. Marysville still requires those 21 credits to graduate. Once that they earn those 21 credits, there's also 2 other things that they need to do. They need to earn competency scores of 684 in ELA 2 and Algebra 1 in state testing. They're still required to take all of the tests. They have to earn a 684 in ELA 2 and Algebra 1. And then they also must earn 2 SEALs. And there are a variety of ways that students can earn their SEALs. I believe that you guys have a copy of what we use at Tri-Academy when we talk to students and families about ways for them to graduate. We have very open discussions. We come back to this frequently. Kids could tell you on the regular basis how many credits they need to graduate. They could tell you how many SEALs they have. They could tell you how many SEALs they still need to earn. They could tell you what SEALs they plan on earning in order to fulfill those requirements. Our kids are very educated with what they need to do to graduate. Lastly, on our plan, we want to make sure that all of our kids have a post-graduation plan. We polled our students at the very beginning of the school year to find out what their plans were post-graduation. Of our 55 kids, nearly half of them did not have a graduation plan. So it is our job to work with our students, to work with our families, to make sure that our students will have a graduation plan, post-graduation, sorry. Again, you guys should have been shared a document that each student will have, and we will create what their vision is once that they complete graduation, what their plans are. We've been fortunate and have brought in some outside agencies to talk to our students. We've brought in people from the military to talk to our students. At the very beginning of the year, we had zero students interested in the military. We brought in a local recruiter. We have five kids who are now interested in the military. They were able to answer some questions. Now, I don't know if that's where they will go post-graduation, but they've learned. They now see an avenue. That is one thing that they have the opportunity to do. So I guess to wrap things up, we are really, really excited about where we are this year. We're really excited about the opportunities in front of our students. We're really, really excited about getting our kids out into the community so that they can plan what they want to do after they graduate. That's all I have for you. Thank you guys very much for listening. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Stackhouse. Any questions?
Okay. So I know that at the traditional high school and also at the early college high school, there's been some talk about kind of doing reach out to understand where our graduates are 5 years down the road. Is there also a plan for our Tri-Academy students to kind of do a reach out and touch base with them where they are 5 years from now?
That is one of our goals, and I did not put that in tonight's agenda, but yes, we are working on a plan. So, and honestly, for a multitude of reasons, we really want to see where our students are going and where they are being successful. Have they ultimately, do they stay down the course that they planned on, or are they switching paths, and why? So we are working on that as we speak.
I know that you've had some community groups come in, not just to speak, but I think they've worked out something where they can help your students get their driver's licenses. Is that something that's going on, or maybe I misunderstood what they were doing?
I'm not aware of what you're referring to, so that may be a different building or a different program. But
okay.
We don't have anyone coming in to work specifically with helping our students get. We talk to kids and we try to educate. And there are other agencies that come in, but nothing specific to that. And I use that as an example. Some of the courts are involved and they want to help kids get, you know, whether that's the license and that sort of thing, or some counseling agencies, they want to help. There's a lot of agencies within Marysville who are in the buildings working with kids. Mm. And that is a topic. You know, ultimately, we want to make sure that kids are successful. And a lot of times it's easier to be successful if you have a mode of transportation. But there's not a specific organization that's coming in just for that.
Okay. I must have misunderstood. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Scott, I know that in the past you've had, I think at the beginning of the week, you've had a town hall meeting. Could you tell me a little bit about where that is at this point, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So we call that Tri-Town Hall, and we do. We have that every Monday. And so we have a morning session and an afternoon session. So we do it with both sessions. And we actually share a lot of information when it comes to Tri-Town Hall. It's really, to me, it would be similar to announcements in a traditional building. We don't do announcements every single day, but we do our announcements once a week. You know, so it may be things that are going on within the school, opportunities that are out there for kids. But we are, that's also where we are embedding some of our habits of mind. You know, so we talk about our family. We talk about how we work together. We talk a lot about respect. We have our habits of mind. Each month, we really hone in on a specific habit. You know, so we are embedding that within Tri-Town Hall. It's also an opportunity for kids to ask questions. If kids would like to see change within our building, it gives them a time to voice their opinions and talk to us. And it's been really good. It does not go on deaf ears. We have changed what we have done within our building based off of student input. So really, it's a time for us to get together just to talk about what is going on, upcoming events, but it also gives that opportunity for kids to ask questions. And if they don't like something, sometimes they just want to know why, and that helps out. You know, so it's a great way for us just to communicate with kids as well.
Yeah, when I first learned of that and had an opportunity to kind of see a little of what it was like a few years ago, I was really impressed because in personalized learning, students have to take control. They have to feel that they are responsible for their own education. And I saw this as a great avenue to create the dialogue that would allow them to feel that they had some control, whereas in other buildings and other circumstances, they may have felt like that, you know, everything was happening to them and they had few or no options. So,
yeah, thank you. And that's exactly that's one of the purposes of Tri-Town Hall. It's been wonderful.
Could you tell us what your biggest challenge or the students' biggest challenge is once they get to Tri-Academy, and is there any way we can help with that?
Boy, that's a great question, and I say that because every kid's challenge is probably very different. Some of our kids' biggest challenge is just getting to school, and we can provide transportation. However, sometimes it's having someone just waking them up in the morning. So we meet with every kid individually to see how we are asking those questions. I appreciate you asking me that question so that it's clear that the schools want to help every single student, including every single student at Tri-Academy. It's unfortunate. You know, the majority of our kids come from trauma. There's a lot, and they're resilient. They want to be successful, but it's hard. And they're workers. They've got never give up attitudes, and it makes me proud. So I don't think that there is a singular piece that would describe what kids need. Every kid is so different. Their needs are very different.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Stackhouse, for your presentation. I'm grateful that we have you and your staff to provide hope and a future for many of our students. I do want to kind of, can you describe the process? How does a student go from barely waking up or getting into the door of a building, not having that drive, to embracing learning and achieving the success they need to graduate?
Well, I would say it all begins with staff. And really, we've got a wonderful group of teachers. So when kids truly walk in the door, they do feel cared for. Kids know if you're faking it. We don't fake it. You know, we're real. We talk to kids like they're humans. We are as real as they come. I'm just going to give you a short story. We just brought in a young man a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, previously, the district filed truancy charges on the student. He would not go to school. His first week there, he showed up all 5 days. He was so proud of himself. He gave one of the teachers a high five. He said, I want to give you a high five because I've been here all 5 days. He can do it. He will do it. It's breaking down those barriers. I don't know what it is. You can say it's magical. I wish that I knew the answer. When kids get there, they thrive. And some of them, it takes longer to get them to start thriving, but we believe in every single one of them. You know, so a lot of kids right off the bat, they just start and they go. They're comfortable. They trust the teachers. They trust what we do. It truly is magical.
That's wonderful to hear. You mentioned that some juniors or in the junior year have zero credits. What's the process to catching up, you know, from zero to, is it 21 credits?
Zero to 21.
How do we get from zero to 21 in 2 years?
Yeah. So there's a few things that we can do. Ultimately, because kids have already sat in the class, we can give an expedited version of what those classrooms look like. You know, so I may have a student who has taken Algebra and Algebra 2 and hasn't passed either of those. They can sit in a classroom with their math teacher and do Algebra and Algebra 2 and hit every standard that they need to hit. It doesn't have to be from September until May to get that credit. So we hit the standards that they need to know. They show that they can master these standards. We move on to the next standard. Once that they've mastered all of the standards for Algebra 1, they earn that credit. And then we celebrate like crazy. And the kids love it, you know. So we're ringing bells. You would think that over at that building is going to be the loudest, but it's not. It's going to be us because we're celebrating all the successes that the kids are having.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. I know, you know, anytime we come to your building, I think you can feel what you're describing to us, you know, and just the excitement of the kids. They're engaged, and it's always interesting because you go in and there's, you know, there's not a lot of kids there, but it just feels like there's so much going on and so much personalized attention to every single child, and just the excitement that they're showing too and the pride, like you said. So thanks so much for continuing the tradition at Tri-Academy, and thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
You too. See, we are now to our reports, and I believe Mr. Cox sent us his High Point report. He said there really wasn't a big report, but he was there last night and just commented on the fact that the building renovation is about 98% done. They had an open house on December 4th, and their student applications for next year are way up. And he had an excellent meal from the culinary arts students. So that was his report. As always, reach out to him if you have any questions. Now we are to our superintendent's report, Ms. Allen.
All right, thank you. I would give a quick enrollment update. We are up to 5,501 students. That's an increase of over 111 students from this time last year. Construction update, I think you're going to get a little bit into the GMP2 later, but from just the construction side, interior demolition at Edgewood is complete. The exterior demo will begin when we receive the doors and windows. Active demo will start at the Chestnut location next week. So there's some spray paint on walls and prep work that's taken place, but it won't be active until next week. I'd also like to take a moment to talk a little bit between our meetings. City Council approved their budget, which includes SRO for elementary buildings in the city. I was informed late yesterday that the county has now approved Sheriff Patton's budget as well, which includes an SRO for Raymond. So good timing for that. Unfortunately, what I would also add is both departments are experiencing tremendous workforce issues, which are complicating implementing the program. The city will start placing officers in certain buildings in January, and they are going to flex two people between those buildings, and then they will incrementally add more SROs until all are in place in March. So as a reminder to all of you, Todd earmarked funds for our portion. It's a 50-50 split. Year one, we will be paying additional to help offset the costs for cars and additional equipment that the city will be taking on, but then the rest of the agreement is a 50-50 split. We are thrilled that this is finally underway and want to make sure that I extend my appreciation to Chief Brooks and Sheriff Patton for their advocacy for these programs. We appreciate the continued collaboration with the city and the schools on this work. Preschool update. As you are aware, the district is adding additional preschool services after the start of the new year. This need is facilitated by an increase in 3 and 4 year olds that are qualifying within the district's and I would say there's a space limitation at Harold Lewis. We will be hiring supervisory staff, which is later in your agenda. We have two teachers, two aides, and OT support that will be coming this way as well. We're continuing to work with ODE to get everything up and running. The one person on the agenda later has specific background in preschool and will be a part-time person to help support Kim in that implementation. As a reminder, right now we are recognizing about 15 students per month. I would say pre-pandemic, we were about maybe 60 a year. So you can see that it's a substantial increase than what we were seeing previously, which is what has kind of resulted in this need. I also wanted to add to Mr. Cox's comments about the High Point Open House and congratulate the High Point team. Their open house was earlier this month, and if you have not had the opportunity as a board member or a member of the public to go up and see, the facility is very impressive, state of the art, and is a great option for our students. So super proud and excited for them. That's all I have this evening.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Diane after that report? Nope. Sure.
With the SRO program, what's the onboarding process like for new SROs?
So they receive training that the city will be paying for, that's required. And so the SRO and whoever they designate as their admin, which I believe is going to be Josh Dillahunt, will meet with that principal and go over expectations. Elementary principals have never had an SRO either. So we will be working to build that capacity on expectations and how we get them involved in, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. For the preschool service, where is that located at Navin? Or where is the preschool expansion?
It will be located at Navin.
Okay, and how does that impact our building capacity? I know.
It's one classroom, so okay. We're still in good shape.
Thank you.
Thank you. Treasurer's report, Todd.
So on the agenda tonight, we have the guaranteed maximum price, or GMP2. I just wanted to note that at the outset, with this project, we said we wanted to stay within a budget of $5 million. So with GMP2 that is proposed tonight, as well as GMP1 that was already approved, we currently stand at $4.95 million. So under the $5 million, I'd also point out that within that $4.9, there's also over $150,000 of contingency that is built into that as well. And similar to last time, Mike and Peggy from Resili are here to help answer any questions you might have, as well as our business manager, Ryan Walker. So I would just open it up now if there's any questions regarding GMP2 or the project.
Any questions? Nope.
One, of what the classrooms are going to look like and what the administrative offices and the rest of the Chestnut Street building were going to look like. Were we able to accomplish that? Is that all in this budget?
Yes. So the design plan from that we've shared with you before remains the same design plan. There are a few alterations that we made that were, for example, the soundboards you see in here this evening, rewrapping those. We went ahead and postponed that and took it off the work, but there wouldn't be anything from the design side that would look different.
So we got all the walls and all the windows and all the doors and everything that we needed.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I know, and I had asked Todd, too, that, you know, if we needed to cut anything, did we cut any kind of safety features or not? And Todd said no.
You can, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was some comment about the furnishings for the Edgewood building were coming from High Points renovation, leftovers from High Points renovation. Is that correct?
They were actually, those are the East Building furnishings, some of the East Building meeting room areas. The Edgewood furnishings are coming out of our furniture budget that is in the PI forecast that we have every year. And we are using several tables that we, large kidney-shaped tables for reading groups that you see in classrooms. We already have those, so those didn't have to be ordered. So we are reusing things that we have in the district as well.
Thank you. We approved GMP1. How do we look right now? I know it's kind of early. The demolition, the interior demolition is complete at Edgewood. Are we on track? How's the budget looking like for the GMP1?
Sorry, is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so I would say overall, entire project, looking at GMP1 and what would be GMP2, I know we're very pleased with where the numbers came in, just given the market and kind of some of the items we discussed previously when we were at this board meeting. So we got a lot of sub buy-in and partnership that allowed us to be under budget. And so when we look at GMP1 and where we're at, really the major impact that we've been able to capture in GMP2 is that identified bulletin 1 and 2 costs, which you see on the estimate. And that stems from permit comments that come from Union County. That's not items that were missed or not designed. It's, you know, basically your local authority that provides comments once you submit those for permits. So overall, you know, Peggy's on the ops side, so I can kind of let her give you what she's seeing in the field. But overall, from what we have seen with the sub numbers and what we have, I'm very pleased with what we received.
Yeah, as far as getting started with the demolition, we have gotten most all the demolition done over at Edgewood, and we're not finding too many surprises, a couple of things, but we're able to handle them. Over at East, we're just getting started on that. We are scheduled to start, I think it's the next week that we've gone in there and done some cut, cap, and make safe kind of things, and we're pushing that so that we can move forward with that. Gotten all of our temporary partitions up so that we can keep the construction separated from Tri Academy and other things that are going on in that building. So, but as far as how that ferrets with the budget, we're right in there and not finding any big surprises. So.
And Todd kind of alluded to it as well. You know, when you look at both GMPs combined, you know, there is $147,000 of contingency that we've allocated for some unforeseens and anything that may come up. So, again, I feel like we're very well positioned and we're excited to kind of get started at East.
We haven't done demolition yet at the central building or the East or the interior demolition. Is there any concern for finding a surprise while you're doing the interior demolition there?
At this point, with, you know, Peggy's involvement, familiarity with the building and working with the project team, we're pretty comfortable with the scope that's been identified. And, you know, it's hard to stand here and say, is there going to be something behind that wall until we demo it? But from our initial, you know, kind of inspections, we're comfortable with that as well.
And the contingency that's listed here should cover anything that could be discovered, or is there a risk that we would have to raise the budget if something is discovered while you're the interior demolition of East?
I wish I had a crystal ball that could give you 100% guarantee, but I can tell you with the contingency that we have and the conversations that we've had with the entire project team, I think everybody has a clear, definitive answer on what the goal and the scope of the project is. And once we get through the demolition, that's where a lot of your risk kind of tailors off, because what we're putting back, we know where the walls are going, we know where the casework's going, the finishes. So anytime we can get out of demo and not tap into some of those contingency dollars, it bodes very well for the project. And again, this isn't anything like major large scale that we've identified. You know, this area could be a huge risk. We have not tagged that or identified anything of that nature.
I just know tonight is the guaranteed maximum price for the complete project, so that's why I'm looking for those guarantees. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you both for being here tonight, too. So, and you feel like timeline is probably too early to really talk about that. But we'll be excited to see how things progress. So thanks for being here. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. We're happy to be here. We're happy to get started. And obviously, we appreciate the opportunity.
Great. All right.
If I could just ask you one question. I've been asked this question a little bit. Is there any benefit from the front community and school space that we have designed? Is there a benefit from taking that out of the project right now and thinking about doing it later?
Are you referencing the civic engagement over? So from our standpoint, and again, I hate to use the crystal ball analogy, I don't think waiting benefits any project or any of our clients currently, because you know, with what we see on the horizon with the introduction of Intel, the work that's going on at Honda, you know, we're challenged with labor shortages that are outside of what we're dealing with lead times and materials. So I think if you were to push that off, it would probably cost you more money down the road. And we've already reduced some of that scope from the design development phase to where we've landed at GMP. And I don't think you're going to generate savings that's going to move the needle. And it's going to be more cost effective to do all of that now. We're going to have to do all the MEP now regardless. So you're really looking at, you know, finishes. So if that answers your question, I think it's in everyone's best interest to get started as soon as you can.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Great. For my report, just real briefly, just wanted to mention that we did have that, as you all know, Mr. Smith and Mr. Keck had a conversation with board members on December 7th. Had a couple stop by, and they had a nice conversation, and dates for our 2023 community coffees are on the website through April. We just have them on there through April at this time, but we're sticking to the Sunday before the board meeting from 2 to 3 at the library. If we have an opportunity to add some more, we'll try and do that as well. ED 411 was on December 2nd. I've attended that, I think, every year since it started, and they're just continued to talk about positive statistics for our region when it comes to economic development. And one of the keynote speakers, Matt Siegelman from Burning Glass, was talking about data and skills disruption, and he talked about how 37% of skills have been replaced with automation or new technology, and he wondered if education and training has kept up with those changes in the skills needed. And I was, you know, looking back at our recently approved district strategic direction, and really a lot of the things that what Mr. Siegelman was suggesting are covered in our strategic direction, things like cross-curricular learning, problem solving, teamwork, partnerships with businesses, internships to focus on career exploration. And I just wanted to kind of a shout out that we're really doing a nice job when it comes to workforce development, economic development, and so great work on that. And then finally, just a brief mention about how our January 9th organizational meeting, one of the agenda items on there includes board committee appointments. And with some of the orientation process with some of our new board members, there were questions about some of those board committees. So we took a little closer look at it and realized that the majority of those committee appointments are for topics that we deal with as a governance team on a regular basis. And we haven't needed to call those committees into action. So per our board policy at our January 9th organizational meeting, there will be a recommendation to dissolve most of those committees, knowing that if we need them in the future, we can always set them up again. So then the appointments that will remain will be for the items that we currently are covering as board members. So things like our OSBA legislative liaison, our safety and drug committee, our student achievement, our Ohio High Point rep, things like that. So between now and January 9th, if there's anything different that you would like to see on that or any changes that you would like to see, just let me know. And that's it for my report. Do we have a student achievement report, Nan?
Good evening. So I forwarded the student achievement newsletter to all of you earlier today. The initial article has to do with the top manufacturing article on a facility they've put together in Cleveland, which is a half training center, half museum, half field trip location for students, and it's designed to bring younger students, grades 6 and 9, through a somewhat manufacturing facility, let them do a little bit of hands-on activity, learning about jobs in the workforce that are more technical related. And I enjoyed the article, and I congratulate the Cleveland area for doing that type of activity. But I look back at what we're doing, and I think we're kind of amazing. Okay, the equipment that we have available at our hands here at the Marysville School District to train our students is incredible. In our partnership with High Point, also, the equipment that High Point has is incredible to train the workforce of the future. So congratulations on what they did. But I would really like to work at sharing with the community how fortunate we are and how far ahead we are in training our young people and introducing our young people to careers of the future here in Marysville. There's several other articles. Three of the articles are related on mental health, the benefits of play, how to build relationships through group activities, and middle school focus for young teens, which is a challenge now and forever. Teen relationships are always a challenge, so I admire all middle school teachers. But that's it. It was actually a really good group of articles this time. Sometimes they're not as exciting, but these were very good, so I invite you to take a look at those when you have a chance.
Great. Thanks for sharing that, Nan. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Hopefully you received my report. Tomorrow, Senator Brenner, who is the chair of the Senate Primary and Secondary Education Committee, is going to visit the early college high school in Navin. He's been given the opportunity to invite other senators on his committee, including our own senator, Senator Reinicke, to come and visit our district. Our superintendent's going to have a patient beginning, and then our president, board president, has agreed to come and help cover the tour of the building and hopefully answer some questions for our visitors. The last couple of weeks have been very hectic down in Columbus. It's been challenging for the legislators, and I think it's also been challenging for groups and organizations that wanted to make their voices heard. This afternoon, we received an update on some of the things that were kind of last minute. There was some ESSER appropriation dollars that the state has released. One thing of note, House Bill 458 was passed, and one of the things that could impact our district directly is that this bill calls for the elimination of the possibility of an August special election. We have an issue on the ballot in May, and August would have been our second opportunity if it didn't pass the first time. The governor, for these bills, the governor still has to sign them, so there's a possibility that not all of these will be enacted into law. But that one did get a lot of support. Another piece of legislation that I thought had some potential impact on us was Community Reinvestment Area Modifications, Senate Bill 33 and House Bill 123 was actually the bill that got passed. And what that what they did was they raised the threshold for community reinvestment areas from 50% tax abatement to 75% before the school district has an opportunity to express an opinion on that. One thing that could help us is House Bill 554 that will allow educators who have retired, who have allowed licenses to lapse, to have an easier process for getting those licenses back into place. And so there may be some teachers out there that would be interested in utilizing the changes in that law and coming to work in our district. The last piece of legislation was Senate Bill 178. I noted that I'd gotten several messages. I think you received some. I contacted both of our legislators, our senator and our state representative, and encouraged them not to vote to get this out this year. The bill, and I put this in my report, the bill, when it was first introduced, was one paragraph long and one paragraph giving some brief explanation. And that's the way the bill stayed until December the 6th. And the bill that was the substitute bill that was put in was 2,144 pages. And many groups, including OSBA, were unable to speak to this particular bill because they didn't have any idea what was going to be in it. And so the substitute bill was introduced on the 6th. It was passed by the committee in the morning of the 7th in the Senate, was passed by the full Senate in the afternoon, went to the House, was assigned to a committee. And that's kind of where it ended up. It didn't go much further. So, but reorganization of the Department of Education will be a priority. And I would encourage people to pay attention to that. You know, there are some questions that have been raised, not necessarily that there shouldn't be any changes, but what types of changes and the extent of the changes. There are questions about the public involvement in the selection of the State Board of Education and the powers of the State Board of Education. One of the reasons that I invited Senator Brenner and others to come and visit was to give them a picture, a visit to a school district that is able to be very effective, and to show them that the real work of education is in the classrooms. It's not in Columbus. And changes in bureaucracy may or may not make things better, but the real changes that need to occur need to happen in classrooms with the teachers and with the kids in our state. And along that line, as things tend to be, tomorrow when Senator Brenner comes, I will show him a couple of emails that I received soliciting for donations to scholarship organizations. These are 501c3 nonprofit corporations that are asking people to donate to them, and it would then qualify for individuals for an up to $750 tax credit. So instead of paying $750 to the state, you could write a check to one of these 501c3s and make that contribution. Then you file your tax, and the state of Ohio would send you your $750 back. And along with vouchers and other things that are being proposed in our state, this constitutes, from my perspective, another drain on tax dollars that are going into private hands. The arguments that you're helping parents provide their education, these donations don't require that you even have children. One is from up in the Cleveland area. The other one's down in Dayton. My wife and I could make contributions and take advantage of this and essentially get reimbursed for our generosity by the state of Ohio with dollars that could be used for public education. So we'll try to carry that message to the senator tomorrow morning. That's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any questions or comments? No. Thanks. We'll look forward to that visit tomorrow, won't we? Okay, next we have the Safety and Drug Committee report. Mr. Ferguson.
Thank you. The Drug Free Coalition, we met on Tuesday, December 13th. There's a new slate of board officers for the coalition ratified, and Thomas Holdren was elected vice chair, so I want to say congratulations to him. And for stepping up to that. Union County Prosecutor David Phillips presented a donation to the coalition for education efforts. These monies were from, you know, when drug dealers are caught and whatever those assets are that are seized, they have the ability to donate and use those funds for education, for drug prevention efforts. So also a good friend of mine, Eric Sowers, he's a veteran of the U.S. Army, a doctoral student at the Ohio State University of College Social Work. He gave a presentation to the coalition on challenges of veterans, the civilian transition, moral injury. If you read the Columbus Dispatch, he was on the front page during the veteran day era journalism. And so he talked about moral injury and mental health concerns that some veterans may experience that can lead to substance abuse. So that was a good presentation. The Safe and Sound Coalition is going to be soliciting pledges to Drive Sober at the Mary on Main event. Well, not Drive Sober at the event, but they're going to be soliciting these pledges at the Mary on Main event from 2 to 5 p.m. on December 22nd. So that's going to be a good, Mary on Main is going to be a good event for families to attend with their kids, and also pledge to drive sober during the holiday season. So in January, TPLA students, right now I believe Marysville High School has five of these leadership students. They're going to circulate a survey among their peers, kind of gauging the access and attitudes regarding vaping and alcohol. So that's something that will be happening in our district. When it comes to policy matters, I kind of condensed it because we just had the lame duck end this morning at 6:15 or something around that time. So lame duck session's over. But the Ohio House Bill 513 did move forward, and that prevents local municipalities from limiting the sale of tobacco products. Example is the city of Columbus. Their city council literally just passed a ban on flavored tobacco. And the state house would, the coalition believes this would infringe on local control. It takes that ability away from a municipality and their elected representatives to make those decisions for them. The coalition doesn't have an official stance on this, but we are encouraging residents to contact governor to express their opinions if they feel that communities like ours should be able to control the sale of that product or tobacco products. I'm also the Union County Suicide Prevention Coalition. They met on the 12th. I just could not attend. They're going to draft some bylaws, set some goals from the upcoming year, and they want to look for meaningful ways to involve community in their work. So they're recruiting members from school districts, parents, youth, to be a part of the coalition. If you're interested, please contact Tabitha Glass, or I can even meet myself for more information. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. I would now accept a motion to approve the draft minutes from our November 17th regular meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Any corrections or questions about the minutes? Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve the GMP 2 resolution.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Keck.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any questions or comments?
I do have a question. Mm-hmm. Does the board feel that it would be appropriate to table this until our January meeting? That way, the interior demolition can be completed at Central East. This was a fact that I didn't realize, that the interior demolition was not complete yet. And I think it's wise to wait until that demolition's complete. That way there's a true assessment and we can get closer to that guarantee of this is our budget and there's no surprises. So is there wisdom in tabling this just until our January 9th meeting or the next regular meeting in January?
I guess personally, after listening to them, I feel pretty confident. I mean, there have been people in that building for how many years now? I mean, I think if there were issues, they would most likely have surfaced one way or another. And I also feel like there's a lot of contingencies, that there's plenty of contingencies in there, and that there are other flexibilities that we have. And I think, I mean, I guess the negative of not approving it is that slow down, being able to like procure bids or things like that, or to order things. And so I guess in my mind, I think that I'm very comfortable with approving it myself, that I'm one person.
I kind of agree with that, if I could say that, because I think if we wait, the cost is just going to go up on all these projects. So, you know, if we lock it in now, that prevents that from happening, and it allows them to go forward and get contracts signed and so forth. And you know, the price of things are going up tremendously fast, and I don't think there's any monetary advantage of waiting, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the previous comments, and I'm not in the construction business, so I don't know what sort of issues would cause a problem. I've done some home demolition before, but I know that the contractors have said they've looked at everything. As far as they know, they can't see anything. They've had an opportunity to inspect the building. Can't give 100% guarantee, but I feel that they probably have more knowledge and better knowledge than I do. And I agree that I think if we decide to postpone this, then that means they're not going to be able to act for another 4 weeks. They're not necessarily going to be able to go ahead with the demolition. Things are certainly scheduled, but if we don't pass this now, I don't know what that does to their timeline, what sort of commitments they have to make and so forth, as Bill had mentioned. So,
which that did remind me, I pulled out the when we approved it in September, the GMP 1, and looked at the difference of every price on there, whether it went up or down, and basically it was it's about 4.4% higher in just that amount of time. And I know, like, you know, January is not that far away and stuff, but I just think I feel like there's more risk than reward to to doing that. So I would say, okay. All right, then I would accept a roll call.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Todd, did anything you want to point out?
Really nothing out of the ordinary, just the usual items. I would just highlight some of the donations in there and just thank the donors that are giving generously to the district.
Any questions or comments? All right. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries. I guess I should have seconded the thanks for all those donors. That is, it's wonderful that we have people that are willing to support some of the things going on in our district. Next, I would accept a motion to approve a leave of absence for Lauren Devine.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Abstain, and motion carries. And finally, I would accept a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Ms. Allen, any comments?
Pretty much the regular items in my area. There are three things I would like to note. First of all, a couple of you contacted me about potentially moving Linda Prohl off the agenda. We cannot do that. That is her choice to retire. But we certainly want to thank her for 22 amazing years and the connection she's made for families and kids and staff members, and the list goes on and on. So we wish her well and appreciate her service to our community. Mm-hmm. The high school, both high school course description books are included, and there are two policies on. Those are one read only due to it's just an address change. Nothing changed, but since our office changed, we need to change the location of our hearing officer. So that's it.
Okay, great. And I would just point out we have another early graduate. So I just think it's nice to make that comment. Congratulations to the early graduate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments?
No, I'm glad to see that Global Scholars diploma. I'm a champion for that.
Yes.
That's an amazing program, amazing opportunity for kids. And we have three educators that are willing to put in the extra work, and really appreciate their efforts in the behalf of the kids.
Okay, great. All right, roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now, comments and questions from the board. We'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Keck and I had a wonderful evening, a nice discussion, and up at the Old Stonehouse Tavern. Did have one couple that came in, and we kind of hooked them a little bit. Had a chance to talk to them, but Bill was able to share some information, as I said, in the report about the upcoming levy and answer a few questions, and they seemed very supportive, so it was a good evening. I want to point out a couple of things that were in the reports to us from the elementary, intermediate, middle school, and high school buildings. At Raymond Elementary, Ms. Dara has been working on some work in terms of remediation with kids and making sure that it's effective. And as a part of that, they're modeling some teaching to parents so that the parents can see what the teachers are doing, how the teachers are introducing things, kind of language that the teachers are using, so that the parents might be in a better position, a little more knowledgeable about how to work with their son or daughter. Creekview had a couple of breakfasts, the one on inviting veterans in was a wonderful event, I know. And at the high school, I've always been amazed for all the years I was connected with the high school, how generous the high school students are in trying to help fellow students and help families in our community. And they're creating a food pantry within MHS that would be established by students that will be able to be accessed by students in our schools. And they're working on ways to try to make that as positive an experience, how to make it convenient, and how to try to provide at least some confidentiality so that students are able to come, get the things that they need, and be able to have a better home situation, a better personal situation in terms of their food security. Much as we enjoy as a nation in a time of giving and celebration, it's important to look at and recognize that our students see people in need, that they see people that are hurting, and that they're taking very positive personal steps to try to address that in ways that they can. And it's been a hallmark of our students and our high school buildings over the last 50 years.
Thank you. Mr. Keck?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I got an opportunity to observe the choir concert, and it was unbelievable, just unbelievable Saturday night. And if you missed that, I don't think there's a finer entertainment anywhere in the state of Ohio that night. That was really great. I also got to go to the STEM school, Early College High School, and observe their presentations yesterday, I guess it was. Memory's a little foggy there. It was just yesterday, and some outstanding presentations there, and the concept of doing those presentations is very outstanding also. So it was interesting to observe that.
Thank you. Ms. Savage.
I just want to say thank you to all the staff members that participated in the Leadership Academy. It's wonderful when people take the steps to step up and take a leadership role, because it's oftentimes difficult. Thank you to Mr. Stackhouse for giving us an update on Tri-Academy. I think Tri-Academy is definitely one of those very special creations in Marysville that not everybody knows about, but that group of kids, along with the teachers, they form a family, and I think it builds their own support within that educational system. So I wanted to say thank you to both of them.
Thank you. Mr. Ferguson?
I'm just going to keep it short. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of our staff and students. Thank you.
Thank you. Todd?
Nothing to add.
Diane?
The only thing I would add is every single building in this school district is involved in some kind of community service project right now, and there's nothing more powerful than to watch kids give back. I had the opportunity to see the FFA kids put together the food pantry and watch kids collect names off the giving tree in the elementary schools. And you talk about a boost in your own self-confidence and feeling like you're making a difference for others. So pretty great stuff happening in this district, but besides the teaching and learning, you know, it's just another layer of great stuff.
Thank you. I just wanted to also talk a little bit about the redistricting project and the STEM Solutions Day at the Early College High School, just how they're just great examples of our business partnerships, authentic, relevant learning experiences, practice in presenting to an audience of peers and adults. And, you know, a couple of the business people who were there yesterday were just saying, wow, I wish I would have had an opportunity like this when I was going to school. You know, they, a couple of them said, I wasn't a very good student, but this is fun, you know, and you really learn when it's a real life problem. And I saw a couple of presentations where the people from the businesses, I believe, are going to be taking some of these solutions back and running them past their coworkers, and so that's really exciting. And I can't imagine how excited those students must feel to know that they've really helped a business in our community. And then for the redistricting activity, that was a great collaboration between some ninth grade advanced geometry students and a humanities class of upperclassmen, and they worked together to come up with some other solutions for the redistricting issues that we've had in the state of Ohio. And it was nice because Representative Russo, who sits on that committee, came to watch the presentations, and she was so impressed, and the kids were excited to be able to meet her. Our own state representative was there too, so you know, I think a couple of kids have some interest in politics after doing that. So again, it's those relevant real life experiences. Want to congratulate all of our extra and co-curricular teams. I saw that choir concert. It was amazing, and been to a couple basketball games. They're doing great things out there. Tomorrow, NAVEN is hosting their Holidays Around the World event from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a first time event, so if you've got some time, stop in there. And then finally, I really just want to thank our staff, because I know right now it has been incredibly challenging with viruses going around, whether it's students not there, staff members not there, kids of staff members, and, you know, trying to figure out how to juggle all of those kinds of things. And then also our board office staff. You know, there's been a lot of upheaval. They've had to move, and, you know, you're in different office space, and it's not easy. And I know that our staff steps up to the challenge, and we really, really appreciate all of them. So just wanted them to know that. And then finally, to wish everybody a joyful and blessed holiday season. So with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Merry Christmas, yes.
Yes, motion carries. We're adjourned at 7:22. Thank you.